This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And because that thing can brush against your shirt, you'll want to stay very, very still. And then we've got this great engineer, Steve. And if at any time you feel like you want to start over, just feel free, Matt, to say, you know what? I want to start that over, and Steve will make you and I sound pretty.
Okay, great.
Awesome. All right. And coming down the stairs here to the basement, Matt Wolf. Hey, man, welcome.
Thanks.
Well, I'm glad you're here to talk insurance, which I'm sure, you know. So do you go into a bar and just start talking insurance and that's how you get a free table when there isn't one?
I wish that's how it worked. Unfortunately, no.
Well, let's start here because I hear so many times, you know, having been a financial planner and even doing the show, that insurance company ripped me off. You have to hear the same thing. What's your first thought when you hear that?
I frustration pretty much. I hear that all the time from friends or family. I think it's frustrating for me because I think it means the industry has failed. Like the entire insurance industry has failed when that's kind of the standard feeling that people have when they think insurance. In my perspective, what makes it even harder is that it's my job to make sure that we've priced things fairly. And so when a customer feels like they're getting ripped off, it kind of like, you know, eats at me internally because I'm like, but we tried so hard to make sure that it was fairly priced. I think what's really happening is one of two, you know, a couple different possible explanations. But one is that, we as an industry didn't make the product offering easy to understand or that the customer was maybe accidentally led to buy the wrong product or something like that. Another possibility is that somewhere we've executed poorly. And I say we loosely as the industry, not at Haven Life. Because I think one of the things that is really amazing about what's going on here at Haven Life and one of the reasons that I came here is the opportunity to do these things better. It's exciting to be at a company where the first and foremost thing is customer experience. And that means not feeling like you got ripped off. It means feeling like you got what you wanted, and you got it at a fair price. And that's a primary focus here. And that makes it easier to avoid these types of concerns because we're constantly looking to make sure that customers feel like they're getting what they think they should be getting.
Yeah.
That it was fairly priced and all that.
Yeah, but it still has got to be, it's got to feel like an uphill battle because I agree with you. You know, sometimes I feel like explaining insurance is like explaining Greek to somebody who, you know, barely knows how to speak their own language.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of really tricky parts to what we do in insurance. I think the goal, at least in my mind, is to put things in a way that it doesn't come across as Greek. It comes across as English. You know, one of the things that people have done here is before I even started Haven Life was they rewrote all the contracts to be like as close to plain English as they could get. There's a lot of regulation that makes it even harder for you to actually do that. But I'll give an example. You know, there's a product type out there that I think, can create some confusion. This product, like accidental death insurance, people don't really necessarily appreciate, like, what am I buying when I buy a term insurance versus accidental death insurance? And it creates this confusion because someone's out there selling, let's say, a cheaper product or whatever. So I think it's really important that we explain exactly what the customer is buying very clearly so they understand that, like, as my dad always used to say, like, you don't want to gamble on your death. So, right. And how you're going to die, actually, is what he said. So, right. You know, accidental death being covers only if you die from, you know, accidental causes and not from medical illness.
Right.
Versus term insurance, which covers you no matter how you die. So I think it's important that customers actually understand those distinctions, and that's why plain English, customer-centric, materials and products and all that are really important.
Yeah, help everybody, help the end consumer. Yeah, on accidental death, I never want to be clutching my chest, having a heart attack, and I got to run out in the road, make sure I get hit by a car.
You know? Exactly.
Just don't want that to happen. So, but I'm glad to have you here because I find this incredibly fascinating, and it completely changed my view of insurance when I found out about how it's priced. So let's talk about that, Matt. How do you price insurance policies?
It's a good question. That's something that I've tried to explain a lot of times since it's my job. And so, you know, people go, what do you do? And you have to explain that. Obviously, first of all, I can't speak specifically about, you know, what we do, what MassMutual does to price products. But what I can do when I can talk is more generically about like how actuaries in general.
Yes. Do. Right.
So the first thing that we do as actuaries is we use historical data to predict the future. Not that different from like a meteorologist tries to predict the weather forecast. And kind of like a meteorologist, it's really hard to predict. And so you might be able to say there's a hurricane coming, but you don't actually know what path it's going to take. And there could be really serious consequences if you get it wrong.
Because you're trying to look at large numbers and extrapolate data for the future based on those large numbers, right?
Yeah. So you're trying to look at large amounts of data from the past. So like there are 300 million people in the United States. How many people died last year? How many of those people were males who were age 75 years old and things of that nature. So you're trying to collect that data and then apply it to the individual customer who's coming in the door. So someone comes in the door and they tell you about themselves and you say, you know, how can I use the information you've told me about you to best estimate what my risk is, what's the chance that you pass away at various points in time, and make sure that you're paying an appropriate price for the risk that we're taking on.
Gotcha. And it's a super competitive business. Back to this whole idea that we opened up with about people feeling like they get ripped off. I mean, if for some reason MassMutual decides to gouge their customer, there's going to be 10 different other companies that jump on that. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it goes the opposite way. So every time you price a product, you're under a lot of pressure in the industry to compete with the fact that three other companies just cut their prices to make it more competitive.
Right.
It's extremely competitive. There's hundreds of life insurance companies in the United States. There's over 100. I'm almost positive someone told me that stat recently. I won't swear to anything, but I'm pretty sure someone told me that. So there's a lot of competition out there.
Yeah, right. So I'm just thinking, so then based on what you said, you're looking at my medical data and you're then comparing it against all these large numbers. And then you're deciding where I fall in this, these reams of data that you have.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty accurate thing. There's a few other things that go into
Right.
Regulators try to make sure that we don't take too much risk. So there's actually something that's pushing back on us to make sure we don't price it too low. So you've got all this competition that's driving the price down. But the regulators actually, not only do they want the prices to be good and fair to the customer, they also want to make sure that you as an insurance company, you're going to be around for 20, 30 years when you actually have to pay these claims. So they actually put in precautions to say, you know, make sure you charge enough that you can actually pay out these claims in the future.
Yeah, in that case, regulators really do their job. I mean, people rip on regulators all the time, but based on what you're talking about, I mean, this is an important thing for the consumer.
Oh, it's extremely important. If it wasn't for this, the competition would drive prices to be so low, and then you probably see a lot more insurance companies going bankrupt. But you know, it really doesn't happen it's very rare that you hear about an insurance company getting into financial difficulty. And this is why, you know, there's regulations to prevent it, to make sure that they can keep the promises. At the end of the day, that's all insurance is. It's a promise, right? So
right.
We want them to be around to make you know, make do on that promise.
But you guys work with so much data. If me and my buddy are the same age and we're both working with insurance companies that went through the whole medical underwriting, you know, we went through medical underwriting ahead of time, you looked at our data and both actuaries compared both of those, I would think that if I'm paying more money than my buddy is, that means you guys think I'm going to die first. Is that what that means?
So it's tough for me to say yes as an actuary. Actuaries were very like precise generally as an industry. But more or less, I think that it's the general theme, is accurate though.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tell my buddy what I'm paying for insurance. I'm just going to ask him what he's paying. And if I'm paying less, I'm high-fiving him and I'm not telling him why.
That sounds good.
What about this one though? When it comes to just insurance in general, something I used to hear around disability was, I'm a safe skier, I'm a great driver, so bad things won't happen to me. But I think your statistics show that there's probably a better chance of it happening to me than I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first thing is you know, accidents happen, right? And we call car accidents for a reason. You know, most of them are accidental. You don't plan on it. And it's often not your fault, right? Somebody else does something, or there's some, you know, confluence of events that causes it. If you're skiing down a hill and somebody else hits you, you could be the best skier ever, but if they fly out from behind, you know, another slope or whatever, you don't see them coming, it doesn't matter. So there's always risk from the world around you. And I think that's important. That's why you get insurance. It's not always about things that you can control.
But that also tells me, Matt, that and this has nothing to do with just what you do at Haven Life with term insurance, that because actuaries are looking at risk all the time, and I think this is important for my listeners to remember, if an insurance type like disability coverage can be pretty darned expensive. If an insurance type is more expensive, that doesn't mean insurance companies ripping you off. It means a guy like you looked at the risk and said, we need to raise that rate because, you know, if we end up having to pay Joe because he got hurt on the ski slopes, then we're going to have enough money to pay his claim.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, going to the example you were going before, right? So we can lower the right rate for someone because they're a good driver, because we think that they have slightly lower risk, but there's some amount of risk that you can't get rid of. So the rate doesn't go to zero because you're a good driver. There's always risk. And yeah, I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
I think something's a lot more expensive across the industry. It's probably because there's a greater risk or a greater cost if it happens.
Which is also your frustration and mine around accidental death and dismemberment. Doesn't mean it's not important. Like if someone works in a job where they're in heavy machinery, putting their hands in stuff, or very physical job, well, accidental death and dismemberment might be an important part of your plan. But it's priced differently because of the chance of you dying in an accident is much less than you just dying.
Yeah. Right. And you're eliminating, you know, you're eliminating a large portion of things, right? So if you get cancer, like, it doesn't matter that, you know, you had your accidental death coverage.
Right.
It's not going to cover you.
Yeah, that was the big aha for me when I learned this about what you do, that all of a sudden I realized that these type, and I want to be clear here, the types of insurance are more expensive, not one company versus another. We already talked about competition, but the types that are more expensive might be the areas of my life that I need to go, oh, maybe I need to examine that. Not that I have to buy insurance for that, but that that my risk might be higher. But let's talk for a second about insurance companies changing prices. Because mm-hmm. when not just MassMutual or Haven Life, if any company changes prices, whether on new customers or somebody that already has a policy, what goes into that decision making?
Sure. Well, as before, obviously, you know, this is kind of a broad thought here.
Sure.
And I think it's broad even for the insurance industry as a whole. But the main things that drive it are going to be like either changes in the company's experience or generic market changes. So what do I mean? If you're pricing life insurance and you notice that there's an increase in the number of people who are dying of a certain subset of the population, the next time you sell that product, you're probably going to charge more for it. Or if interest rates changes, so the market changes, it means that the company, you know, can't earn as much on its portfolio of assets, that might change the price. So those are the types of things that could drive price changes. I think an important thing for people to understand about life insurance, at least the type that Haven Life sells, which is, you know, term life, is that the price is guaranteed for a level number of years. So it's not like your renters or your homeowners insurance where the next year they could, you know, jack up the price on you. When you buy term life insurance, it's guaranteed flat for the length of that term period. So they can't raise the rate. The insurance company can't raise the rate on you in that level period.
And that says
there are other life insurance products out there that they can do that with, but right. not term insurance.
And that says that in plain English when somebody gets their insurance policy, I would imagine.
Yes, definitely. We try that. We try very carefully to make sure that's clear.
So they have these companies, these rating agencies, right? That compare risk for one company versus another company. Where do the rating agencies fit in this whole thing? Because we talked about regulators and we talked about, you know, individual companies and competition. What about the rating companies?
Sure. So I can't speak too much to rating agencies because I don't really work directly with them or my personal job doesn't involve them too much. But I can say broadly, they're a really large part of what we do in insurance. So the regulator is trying to make sure you hold a certain amount of, you know, protection for risky events. The rating agencies care even more. So the regulator might tell you need to hold, you know, whatever, a certain amount. And then the rating agency will say, oh, yes, but if you want to be rated really highly, you have to hold three times that much or four times that much.
Wow.
And insurance companies believe very strongly in ratings being an important part of their sales process, that ratings say we are a trustworthy company that's going to be around for a long time. So a lot of decisions get made around making sure that they have enough money put aside for these really unlikely events, just to make sure that even if this like disaster happens, they get hit with five hurricanes in a year and they lose a lot of money that year, that they've got all this money put aside that they can still make those promises, keep those promises that they made.
Awesome. And I think we got to end this, Matt, with the most important question ever, which is that I don't see kids on the playground when they're little pretending they're actuaries, right? They're football players, they're, you know, dancers, they're all kinds of different things. But how did you get into your job?
So I actually, when I was five, I used to play that I was an actuary on the playground. No, I'm just kidding.
That would have been so great, though.
Yeah, when I learned about it when I was a little bit younger than most in like middle school. But the reality is it was I think most actuaries that I know kind of went to college. They were interested in math. They were trying to decide what to do with math. And they didn't want to do like research or become a professor. They wanted to do something they felt like they had like an immediate impact on society or results. And you start learning about actuaries and insurance and like, you know, the fact that it's a very kind of noble profession in terms of protecting people from risk. And doing things fairly. It doesn't hurt that it's also one of the highest rated jobs every year on the jobs.
Right. List. Yeah. So. Wow. That's really cool. So you did in middle school, you thought about being an actuary.
Yeah. I mean, I heard about it cause my cousin's an actuary, but okay. I don't think that it was, you know, a realistic or a definite path until sometime in college. It was just, I learned maybe that I wanted to do it really fast in college because I had heard of it, as opposed to a lot of people who learn about it when they're about done with college.
Right.
Go, oh, wait, there's another job out there. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So are there any good actuary jokes that you can tell us?
Let's see. I don't know. My favorite one is, it's a common joke that's used for a lot of different industries, but it's how can you tell the difference between an accountant and an actuary?
I had no idea.
An actuary looks at your feet when they talk to you.
Matt Wolf, thanks a ton for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout-out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who is in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible. And I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers. So many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.